Good morning, again. Man, I had some multimedia presentation for you tonight to this morning that was just going to be wonderful. But things aren't working out, so it's okay. I guess I wanted to get outside my comfort zone a bit and be fun, but I guess I'm just not the fun guy. So I have to go back to my boring old Bible study guy that I am. So we'll just dive into Scripture this morning and try to explain it verse by verse. And I think we can do that without videos and pictures and things like that this morning, can't we? So we'll do it that way. So turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. It is Father's Day. Happy Father's Day again. It's hard being a father, it's hard being a mom, it's hard being a parent these days. My hat's off to anybody who deliberately engages those roles as mom and dad. It's a challenge, but it's an important role. So congratulations, fathers. Happy Father's Day. You know, often on Father's Day, it seems like fathers get hammered, don't they? Well, I'm trying not to hammer you today. I want to encourage you, fathers. So if you'll stand with me and we'll read together, or read along with me, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 is where we're starting this morning. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for who you are. You're the one true living God. You're our God. Father, we thank you for the time that we can come together and freely worship you. What a privilege that is. And Father, oh, what a luxury it is to have the very words of God in our language, in our hands, that we can read. So Father, let us take advantage of this time together as we fellowship, as we worship, and as we study your word. I pray, Father, that you would go before me, that your spirit will convict hearts, encourage, lift up, teach, in spite of the messenger, Father. Father, we give glory to you for the work that you're doing. Father, this is your time. We are your people. We commit it to you. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Father's Day. The title of the sermon is Father Time. You know, I do title the sermons. I don't always tell you what the title is. It's usually written in the bulletin somewhere. But time. Time is a precious, precious commodity these days, isn't it? Time is a gift. Time is actually an investment. Everybody only has so much time. How we spend it, how we invest that time says a whole lot about us, doesn't it? How we use our time says tremendous volumes about what's important to us, what's valuable. It reveals our values. It reveals our values. I was once told that if you want to find out what's important to a man, find out how he spends his money and his time. It indicates what's important to a man. You know, fathers are important. Fathers, you're important. Dads, you're extremely important. Billy Graham once said, I quote, "A good father is one of the most unsung, unpraised, unnoticed, and yet one of the most valuable assets in our society." Did you hear that? A good father is one of the most unsung, unpraised, unnoticed, and yet one of the most valuable assets in our society. Our world, our culture, our society, our media, TV, news, movies, you won't hear that. Dad, you will not hear from the world that you are important. that you're valuable, but you are. You are extremely important. In fact, I believe that fathers are the key, the very fabric of our society. I believe that fathers are the key to the very fabric of our society. You, Dad, are the key to the health of your family. You, Dad, are the key to the health of your family and hence our society, our world. The world needs godly dads, men who man up and take responsibility for their family. Dads do have a tough job, don't they? Now, I'll be honest with you, you've heard me talk about moms and the tough jobs moms have. I'll be honest with you, I'd rather be a dad than a mom. Moms have a tough job too. But dads' jobs are not easy. Important, not easy. Dads today, godly dads must run against the grain, the cultural grain. Do things a bit different than the world. And it starts with how we spend our time. It starts with time. Godly dads use their time differently from the world. Let's look at our text. Verse 15. Therefore, Ephesians 5, verse 15. Therefore, be careful. Careful of what? Where you walk? How you walk. Be careful how you walk. Here's the how. Therefore, be careful how you walk, comma. Here's the how. Not as unwise men, but as wise. Dads, be careful how you walk. Dads, walk as wise men, not unwise men. Man, since we don't have videos today, I got plenty of time. Let's turn to some more scripture. Let's go to James chapter 1. Turn to the right a bit. Past Hebrews to the book of James. You get to Peter, you're going too far. James chapter 1 and verse 5. We are to walk as wise men. So let's take just a few minutes and take a side trail and talk about wisdom. James chapter 1 verse 5 says, but if any of you lacks wisdom, newsflash, men, we all do lack wisdom. If we're honest with each other and with ourselves, we lack wisdom. If you listen to your wife, maybe she's telling you, you lack wisdom. Sometimes our wives are a blessing in that way, aren't they, men? But guys, we lack wisdom. We could all use some more wisdom. And I don't preach a lot of promises and grab the promise from God stuff, okay? Because I only preach what Scripture says. At least I try to. But here is one promise that Scripture says we can reach out and grab it, and God will promise to give it to us. I'm not talking about a large bank account. We're talking about wisdom. So let's read this verse. James chapter 1, verse 5. But if any of you lacks wisdom, here's what we should do. Let him ask of God. You lack wisdom, and we do. Let us, men who are to walk wisely in this world, ask of God. God, give me wisdom. I need it. And what does the rest of the verse say? God who gives to all, that's even me and you guys, all means all. God who gives to all generously and without reproach. And it will be given to him. Do you hear that? This is one thing Scripture says you can ask God for, and he promises to give it to you. God, I want a new car. May not happen. I want a new job. I want more money. It may not happen. God, I long for wisdom that I lack so much of. And God says, you got it. I give it to all generously without reproach. You want it? You got it. Isn't that great? How many times in Scripture can we look at it and say, here's a promise from God. You can name it and claim it. Wisdom. Hear me well. Wisdom, you can name and claim. Wisdom. But there is a catch. Let's keep reading. Verse 6. But, in contrast, right? He must ask how? In faith. Without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Men, this week, you'll probably be in a situation where you need some wisdom. Ask for it. And trust God that this promise in James chapter 1, verse 5 and 6, that Jesus, that God says, you ask God for wisdom, believing that he's going to be faithful to his promise, and you will get wisdom. That is so comforting to me. As a father, as a man who God commands me from Ephesians 5 to walk wisely. God wants me to walk wisely? God, how do I do that? I've never been a father to a teenager. How do I do that, God? Ask God, he will give it to you. You just got to ask, believing that God is faithful to his promise in James chapter 1, verse 5 through 6. That's great news, isn't it? You want wisdom? You got it. Ask God in faith. What kind of wisdom should we ask for? Let's go to James chapter 3, verse 17. Since we got so much time this morning, I'll get you out of here soon. Don't worry about that. I promise. James chapter 3, verse 17. Oh, man, let's just start with verse 13. Get a running start. Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior, his deeds, and the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom that we just read in verse 14, that wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but it is earthly, natural, demonic wisdom. Man, we can be wise in our own eyes. Selfishly, jealously, bitterness. That's natural wisdom. Earthly wisdom. Demonic wisdom. The kind of wisdom the evil one uses. Verse 16, for where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and everything. That's earthly wisdom, natural wisdom, demonic wisdom. Verse 17, but in contrast to the earthly, natural, demonic wisdom is wisdom from above. This is the kind of wisdom that we're to seek for. This is the kind of wisdom we're commanded to live by as men who walk wisely. This is the kind of wisdom that's guaranteed if we ask God in faith. But, verse 17, James chapter 3, but the wisdom from above is first what? Pure. First things first. Purity. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering and without hypocrisy. That's the wisdom, guys, from above. When we ask God for wisdom, we're to ask God for wisdom from above, his wisdom, heavenly wisdom, wisdom that is first pure. Now back to Ephesians chapter 5. We are to be careful how we walk. Walking as wise men. God is concerned with us walking, dads, wisely. That we are wise in the way we live. We are wise in the way we walk through life. So how is that done? Ephesians chapter 5. Let's look at verse 16. This is the how it's done. Be careful how you walk. Walk wisely. Verse 16. Making the most of your time. Wise living. dads, relates directly on how we use our time. Time is a precious commodity. Time is a gift. Time should be, can be, an investment. God expects us to invest it. A big topic the last few decades has been time management. You ever heard time management? I've been to time management classes. There's books. I've read time management books for decades now. Time management. How can we, as a busy people, get busier? How can we do more with less? How can we do more and more and more? How can we use technology to cram even more and more in the allotted time that we have? Life is chaotic, and the big topic is time management. Well, you just got to manage your time wisely. You know? The tyranny of the urgent, right? You've read that book? What's important, what's urgent? This is not what God is talking about. God is not talking about time management, dads, men. God is talking about time investment. How we use our time, what we do with it, where we spend it. Dads, invest your time in your family. I implore you, I beg you. The most significant investment you can make in your entire life is spending time, investing time in your family. Sinclair Ferguson, in his book called A Father's Gift, points out that there are various levels at which men can be a father. There's different levels. The very basic first level of being a father is biologically, right? Makes sense? And I'll quote him here. Fathering a child does not make you a dad. Any fool can make a baby. But being a dad takes much more than that. On the very basic level, being a dad, being a father, is biological level. Then he goes on to tell us in his book about a level of provider. Dads, we have the responsibility to provide for our family, to put food on the table. And as we do that, we're doing well. That's our responsibility. We're to provide more than just food and shelter, clothing. And there's more to being a dad than just being a provider. It's more than just being a biological father. It's more than being a provider. The next level, he says, is a disciplinarian. When dads are doing good, when you set boundaries, limits, parameters for your kids to grow up safely in, rules and regulations are healthy. But there's much more to being a dad than setting rules and boundaries and being a disciplinarian. And then he goes on to talk about being a teacher and a mentor as a father. Now we're getting close. Instilling core values, teaching and instructing, guiding and mentoring your children. Now we're getting closer to a biblical godly dad. These are vital to being a dad. Instilling core values. Godly, biblical values and principles so that your kids can grow up and behave a godly way and fear God and love Christ with their whole heart. Not because Dad said so, but Dad taught me the principles. Dad modeled the principles. I saw Jesus through Dad. Dads, guess what? We cannot be teacher and mentor. We cannot instill core values, godly biblical values in our children, in our families, without investing time. Time is a key ingredient. It takes time to be a dad. It takes time to nurture a relationship. Relationships take time. You cannot have a relationship without time. It's just a fact. And I'm talking quantity time. Large quantities of time. One of the biggest lies in the last couple generations has been this term quality time. It was an invention made up by guilty people who don't spend much time with their families. Families need, children need, spouses need quantity time. Large, large doses of quantity time. Relationships take time. In order to raise godly kids and have godly marriages, dads will have to invest large quantities of your own time, not delegating it out to anybody else. You've heard of me time. I guess that's somewhat new. I'm always behind the fads and the current lingo and hip stuff. Me time. You ever heard that phrase? I need some me time. Dads, your me time needs to be we time. Me time needs to be we time, family time. You need to invest your own time. You need to make time for families. Walk wisely with your families, making the most of your time. It's a precious commodity. We only have a limited amount. I remember when I first started having kids, these older guys would tell me, "Chip, you see that three-year-old? Boy, they grow up quick." You ever heard that? Yeah, you're right. I mean, I'm just trying to make it to the day, you know, with diapers and toddler stuff and keeping the house clean and not going insane, right? Dads, moms. Enjoy them while you got them. They grow up fast. I got one leaving the nest. They're right. They grow up fast. Limited quantities of time. Precious commodity, and men, dad, moms, parents, soon you will be out of time. You'll have no time left to invest in your child. That window of opportunity is gone. The relationship will change, so I hear, as I talk to other men who have children who have left the nest. You can still be influential, no doubt. And then there's always grandkids to look forward to. But guys, time slips away quick, right? Time flies, isn't that the saying? Time keeps on ticking into the future. Anybody remember the 70s? Yeah. Okay. We're not going to sing that or anything, okay? There is a comic strip that's been on my refrigerator for about 15 plus years. I mean, I took it to Kenya and they put it on my refrigerator in Kenya. It's from the Family Circus. Remember the Family Circus people? I don't even know the guy, Bill somebody, Keen maybe. It's one of those rectangle ones, you know, and it's got a couple frames. In the first frame, there's mom and dad doing something at the kitchen table, and the little boy, you know, comes to him and said, "Hey, can we play? Can we do something?" And both the parents turn to the little boy and say, "You know, not now. In the next frame, you know, dad's at the desk, you know, doing something important, I'm sure. And the little boy comes to him and says, "Dad, can we do something? Can you throw the ball with me?" And the dad says, not now. In the next frame, you know, the parents are in the living room or den somewhere reading newspapers or something, watching TV. Oh, I think he's even on the computer maybe. Oh, if he's not, that sounds good. And the kids come to him, the little boy comes to him, "Hey, can we do something? Can we play a game? Can you read me a book? Something?" Not now. You know what the last frame of the comic strip is? It's gray-headed old mom and dad now. Sitting in that same den, and the little boy is now a young man, and he is gone. And both the gray-headed mom and dad look at each other and they say, "How about now? It's too late." Time is an investment, a fleeting commodity. Listen to the lyrics of this song. I came across this song as a teenager after my father passed away. It's called Cats in the Cradle. You've probably heard it from me before. My child arrived just the other day. He came to the world in the usual way, but there were planes to catch and bills to pay. He learned to walk while I was away. And he was talking before I knew it, and as he grew, he said, "I'm going to be like you, Dad. You know I'm going to be like you. And the cats in the cradle and the silver spoon, little boy blue and the man on the moon. When you coming home, Dad? I don't know when. But we'll get together then, son. You know, we'll have a good time then." My son turned 10 just the other day. He said, "Thanks for the ball, Dad. Come on, let's play. Can you teach me to throw?" I said, "Not today. I got a lot to do." He said, "That's okay." And he walked away, but his smile never dimmed. He said, "I'm going to be like him, yeah. You know I'm going to be like him. And the cats in the cradle and the silver spoon. Little boy blue and the man on the moon. When you coming home, Dad? I don't know when. But we'll get together then, son. You know we'll have a good time then." Well, he came home from college just the other day. So much like a man, I just had to say, "Son, I'm proud of you. Can you sit for a while?" He shook his head and said with a smile, "What I really like, Dad, is to borrow the car keys. See you later. Can I have them, please?" And the cats in the cradle and the silver spoon and the little boy blue and the man on the moon. "When you coming home, son? I don't know when. We'll get together then, Dad. You know, we'll have a good time then." I've long since retired. My son's moved away. I called him up just the other day. I said, "I'd like to see you if you don't mind." He said, "I'd love to, Dad, if I can find the time. You see, my job's a hassle, and the kids have the flu. But it's sure nice talking to you, Dad. It's been sure nice talking to you." Time flies. Time marches on. Time slips away. Dads, we have to make time to invest in our families. Make the most of our time. Why? Let's go back to our text. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16. "Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time." Why? "Because the days are evil." Because the days are evil, Dad. The evil one will destroy your family, destroy your children, if you don't invest time wisely. If you don't invest your time in your children and your family, Satan will destroy them. This world will destroy them. Stay distracted. Stay distracted with your job, with your career, with your hobbies, with your ambition, with your ministry. And your family will be destroyed right under your nose. Dads, we must invest time in our families. Make time. It doesn't matter how old your kid is at this point, or your grandkid. Make time. Spend time with them. Quantity time. Dads, we must spend more time being significant in the lives of our families and less time trying to be successful in the world's eyes. Did you hear that? I did not make that up. I came across that in my studies. I'm not sure who said it, but I liked it because it penetrated my heart. So let me read it again. Dads must spend more time being significant in the lives of their family, being significant, and less time trying to be successful in the world's eyes. Your marriage is your responsibility. Fix it. You nurture it. You grow it. Your children, dads, are your responsibility. You raise them. You teach them. You show them the way. How you invest your time is your responsibility. Invest it intentionally. Invest it deliberately. Choose this day how you invest your time in your families. Let's pray. Father God, I love you so much. We love you. I love your word. It hurts sometimes to read it, but I love it. Father, you convict our hearts with truth, hard truth. Let us be courageous enough to respond to you in obedience. Father, I pray that all of us, men and women, will seek wisdom from above. We'll seek to please you on how we use our time. Let us invest it in our families, Father. Let us invest it in the kingdom. But regardless, Father, our families are first priority. I know it's easy for me to say, hey, I'm a full-time minister. No excuse for Chip May. You have given me a responsibility as a dad. Father, I pray for all of us dads that we will invest our time in our families for your glory, for your honor. Father, help us to do that. The world is so distracting. Father, you penetrate our hearts so that we can obey you fully. I thank you, Father, for what you will do through determined, committed, godly fathers. They will raise a godly family. And that godly family, and those godly kids, will impact the world for you. Father, let us submit ourselves to you, to your word. Have your way with us, Father. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.